Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
Let me just finish this thought before we go into space. The Bejeweled game...
That's the most Pitch Please thing I've ever heard.
Welcome to Pitch Please! My name's
Jesus
Alex,
Christ.
I developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Oh my God.
Hi. What the fuck was that?
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hello.
We're still going. Thomas the Ideas Engine.
Yeah, that's me, baby. Woo!
Yeah! I love this energy. All right. Look, if you've not listened to us before, the way this works is one of us is gonna pitch an idea for a game, and then we're going to spend the rest of the show trying to figure out how it works.
You sound exhausted
our ideas.
Already.
I'm fucking worn out. My heart rate is 200. Someone call an ambulance very quickly. So we had last week, Tom, it was you, wasn't it?
It wasn't me.
This week?
I might have another one. I might have another one.
Oh my God.
It's not a full idea. It's not a 6-page document. It's not got like 10 years of backstory that I need to explain first or anything like that. It's a weird one in that I am almost going to pitch a mechanic that I thought of the other day that I thought you could make an entire game based around, which there's a lot of good games that are based around just one core mechanic and it works.
We need more mechanics in this show.
We need more mechanics. And this is one I don't think I've seen anywhere else. I'm really hoping.
I can't wait for all the comments, or just with all of the responses showing us the game that's done this multiple times before.
Maybe. Then again, we get a lot of comments like, have you ever played Dungeon of the Endless? And it's never that game.
You're right. Yeah. I think people just want to feel included, don't they? So stop it.
Yeah. How fucking dare you?
Can you stop the engagement, please? We don't need it. No, we do. We do, though.
We desperately do. Yeah. Please comment.
So I was playing a little bit of Planet Crafter, which is I don't want to say Subnautica, but above water, but that's an easy way of putting it together. You collect resources, you take them back to your base. And the point of the game is to build heating and oxygen and all of these things to terraform the planet, right? Mm-hmm. The entire structure, the biggest problem I have with the game, though, was the inventory system and the crafting. And it's just carrying around these individual resources. You can't stack items. You can't do anything like that. It's just you pick up iron, and you have 10 individual iron in your inventory. And it's a little frustrating. But you can end up making some really cool bases and actually doing some cool stuff for that game. I was thinking of basically just ripping that off because, you know, I'm going to break my own rule.
Is that the mechanic?
I'm going to break my own rule. It's Planet Crafter 2. But I was thinking of a mechanic that I haven't seen in survival games or games where you build bases or big machines or anything like that, where the resources that you need to build this building go into a grid, and then it turns into a Bejeweled style game where you have to combine all these resources together in the proper ways. And the more points you get in this very quick mini game, adjusts how effective or how good this building is. Or maybe you need to get, say, 1,000 points, and that is the baseline construction of this thing. And that is what you do to actually craft these things. So maybe the game is just running around picking up resources and stuff like that, but the actual construction and crafting is Bejeweled. And if you, get 1,000 points, and you're like, okay, cool, I'm done, but you haven't used all your best resources, they get lost. So you're trying to use as many resources as you can in this quick mini game to build the machine. And the better you do, the better the machine is, or the better the construction is, or the better the equipment you're crafting is. That's the mechanic. And I make a game out of that. See ya.
Is it always Bejeweled? Is it, it or is it different mini games depending on what you're crafting?
Solitaire.
Frogger.
Could be. What alternatives?
I mean, you love Sudoku. Call back to a couple of episodes ago. Make it all Sudoku.
Maybe you can. But I was thinking of just a way to shake up crafting in games, because it is just, for the most part, you've got the resources, you press craft, and it exists, and that's the end of it. And there's no deviation at all between, you know, the first thing you craft and the 10th thing you craft. Mm. I think a nice way of sort of spicing that up is maybe you get perks that improve your actual, that mini game, you get more points. And then in all future crafts of this thing, it's better because you're getting more points quicker.
Mm.
Just some way to make crafting more interesting, I think.
The thing that I like about that initially comes to mind is just the idea that, like, in a lot of games, and a lot of games like that, eventually you get to a point where you automate everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's satisfactory when you're crafting something.
Yes.
You just kind of, you put it on, you let it go, and you go and do your own thing. Like, it's actually making something active out of doing this. It's making something fun out of just like, okay, I've gathered the materials, rather than just chuck them in a box or chuck them in a machine and then I'll get a building out the other end. Like, it actually turns that into something more.
Yeah. And I think in the later game, instead of, oh, I really don't want to spend 30 seconds, 45 seconds crafting this one thing a million times, maybe you can get to a point where you're like, I'm happy with that construction. I'll save that. Anytime I want to craft this thing, it uses that. So I guess in all future things, you're like, well, I'm just going to craft this and that's just a click of the button. Sure. But that's just a way of saving time. Building the same thing a million times.
Or I guess depending on what the game is, you make the thing that then makes other things. So if you've made a really good 3D printer or, you know, I don't know, water purifier, you can make more drinks of clean water than say, all right, I've got to do the task to make one glass of clean water. I can now make multiples.
Yeah, exactly.
But the point being is, like, if you do a shoddy job of your Bejeweled game, your water purifier now only makes 3 glasses of water instead of the maximum 50.
Yeah, it just does it slower.
Okay.
And I think that maybe you could pick up particular resources. Maybe the baseline construction of, I don't know, a mine, for example, a mining rig is just a couple of iron and stone or whatever else. And you can make it with that, but you could also add in other resources that if you manage to combine them properly in this mini game, makes it better. Maybe you could funnel all these amazing resources in it and you aren't able to use them and you just lose them.
Mm.
I think that could be good. Bye.
I like one thing that comes to mind is, I don't know, let's say you are dehydrated. It makes it harder to do whatever mini game it is. So maybe certain resource jewels are obscured, or if it's, I don't know, a skill-based game, the mouse pointer wobbles about more because you're shaking, you're cold at night.
Yeah.
Or maybe we could have all very simple games that then become much harder to do as a result of whatever is going on in the real world, quote unquote.
Yeah. And even then, you could just, in the future, you could pick up perks or rewards or upgrades or whatever. Like, I don't know, say there's a Peggle-esque crafting game or whatever, it gives you more shots. So you can eliminate more as you go. And then it just makes things easier and better as time goes on.
Hmm. One thing that I think, like, we could try and get out of the way, which might help us come up with more ideas for it, is like, do you have an idea of the setting for this survival? Is it basically just Planet Crafter? Because I feel like there are so many games where it's like, the survival games where you're on, you're on a new planet, or we've done the planet thing. You've got underwater, you've got the jungle. I guess places?
We need a new place to survive in which these mini games would fit. The zoo.
The zoo. Prison.
After famously. Dark.
You're in a mine and there's jewels everywhere.
You're in a mine.
I did have a question about the Bejeweled aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to use Bejeweled as the example because I don't know what your resources are. So say I've got 3 blue gems, right?
Sure.
Let's say that those 3 blue gems represent a plank each.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they're in a line, do they disappear or do they combine to create a stack of planks?
they get used for the construction. They disappear from the board,
right,
and become consumed,
okay,
for the construction of the machine.
So what I thought you were doing was then was combining things. So I have, you know, maybe every red gem is actually, you know, like nails, right? So I then swipe all my planks together and then, oh, there's a red gem, nails, and I swipe those down. Now they're like, you know, a flat plane of planks. So now I have like a surface.
And that would be a massive game of Bejeweled if you have to include every single nail in the construction of a building.
Well, it would be represented.
Maybe there are certain things you could throw in there to upgrade the individual resources. If you put nails with plank, for example, and then combine that nailed plank with two other planks, it's better than just three planks. I don't know.
So is there just a resource bar that you need to fill up? And then once that bar's full? Or is there, like, as you said earlier with different types, is there like your minimum viable product? This is now well made. This is like super well made. The durability of this is double. But it took you longer to get there because you've had to play Craft Bejeweled. We need to come up with a better name. You need to come up with a good pun name for it, Tom.
Yeah. Well, there's many different types of Bejeweled. I'm sure we can find a different one. But all I'm thinking of is Bejeweled. But what I was imagining was, yeah, for the absolute bare minimum of this construction, you need 1,000 points. If you get 1,200 points, it's upgraded. Mm-hmm. 1,400, 1,600, 1,800. It just keeps going over and over and better and better and better.
In my head, it was like a shopping list of things that you need to make. You need to make 50 planks. Therefore, you need to, you know, connect not 50, but I don't know, fucking 10 red jewels together.
Mm-hmm.
But then that leads me on to think that it's a case of, okay, you're pumping more resources into your container of jewels to make this thing. So I don't know how the durability comes in. That's durability. Where my head is at. How does the does the effectiveness, you Bejeweled is done. You get the points, you know, I've got 1,000 points. Great. I've got my shed that I've just built.
Mm-hmm.
How is 1,000 points?
What do you do with the points?
How does that equate to durability? How does shed not be made good, Tom? Shed is made or not made?
No. So say if that 1,000 point shed had 100 health. So if you get attacked by raiders, I mean, we haven't designed the rest
now.
Of this game. Okay.
There's raiders.
Let's
now.
Say the raiders attack. Your building is being like a. Your building's being attacked, it has 100 health. But maybe because you took longer, because, you know, you 100%ed the shed and went, I have had enough of this crafting minigame for this specific structure. Or I play it longer, therefore I get bonuses for that.
Okay. So that's the metric. A time metric attached to health.
It might not be time, because you might be really good at it. If you're really good at it,
you might get it just super as quick. Long. Because you might have upgraded resources or all these extra perks that give you more points or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you upgrade resources by combining them? So it's a little column from my section, a little column from your section.
Sure. Why not? Or maybe even adding in just maybe if you fill this with regular ass MDF, then they're worth less points. But if you have managed to procure some real primo redwood lumber, then you put that in there and those are worth more points wise. And then you build a tier one shed at the baseline. Tier one, 100 health, 10 inventory. Tier three, though, 6 million health.
Tom, without thinking, first setting that comes to mind.
I said zoo.
I know, but zoo's not a setting really, is it?
Zoo
I
is
think
already
an After Dark
up,
Zoo survival game.
Yeah, zoo.
How are you going to build stuff in a zoo, though?
Are you building the zoo?
No. You're stuck in the zoo.
Building the animals.
So he's doubling down, even though it's completely nonsensical.
The raiders are the animals. You've been trapped in the zoo. The zoo, okay, all the animals have escaped.
Right.
And you work at the zoo, ordinarily, and they're like, oh, fuck, we need to lock down the zoo. We need to shut the doors, all the exits to stop the animals from escaping. Hopefully we didn't leave anyone behind. You. That's you.
Oh, I'm not stuck in here with them. They're stuck in here with me. That kind of situation.
Sure. I feel like it should be like I don't
not
know.
A
like
zoo?
Something bigger? Okay.
So, right. Somewhere like Somewhere that has like a really nice environment, you know, you can wander around or something with like
Who's week is this? It's my pitch, isn't it? Zoo.
You can, hey, look, you can totally,
but like not the zoo,
totally
Jurassic
out.
Park style zoo, zoo, right?
So we can't underwater. Like, we can't do another planet. We can't really just do Earth.
I think we can do other biomes on Earth, like other things that haven't
Middle
been explored
Earth?
As much.
Middle Earth, Middle Earth survival,
Antarctica, and just make. Igloos.
What about somewhere like Norway, like the fjords of Norway?
Norway fjords.
Where you've got like these beautiful Norway. Surroundings yeah. and like there's okay. there is like flat areas where you can build like, because that could even theme like the kind of structures that you build, or depending on the landscape that you have, the area that you're in, you know, you might have to build certain kinds of structures or bridges or whatever, depending on what your, you know, what your goals are.
Okay, Tom, and why are we building things? Let's try and develop this game around this mechanic. First thing that comes to mind, you're in Norway, remember?
So we're in Norway now. Why are we building a settlement.
You're a Viking. You've been sent out onto the frontier to begin a settlement.
Okay.
Construct a settlement. You're a forward.
Yeah.
You're a little scout guy.
Fjordwood settler.
The first Viking.
Now, are raiders other Vikings? Are they like Nordic myth creatures as well?
No, they're just animals.
Just animals, not even other Vikings.
Squirrels
also
and stuff.
You're trapped.
The coyotes and the badgers, they've teamed up again.
Oh, God.
Also, you're trapped in a large caged arena.
Right, so you're in a zoo.
Oh, he's got us again.
It's come full circle.
I really like the idea of that, like, I don't know. Look, if we want to have a zoo, sure, a zoo. But my vote is Norway fjords. Like,
Norway fjords.
I want to be a Viking in the beautiful fjords, like constructing, you know, those little grass houses they have and stuff.
Sorry, and hang on.
What is Chris just, going nuts
there was,
about?
There's a man looking through there James's window behind him.
There's a man. Oh God, there's a man.
There's some dude. And in a high
this.
This is podcast friendly, but he just walked past very slowly, just looking in.
And just stared in. But also was smiling.
He was very happy.
Ask him if it should be a zoo or the fjords.
Oh, he's gone. Back. I think it might have been a male man.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say a male stripper. I don't know.
It was a male stripper.
Oh, my delivery has arrived.
Sorry,
about that.
Anyway,
okay, so
like I want to pitch the setup to Tom, and then he can cast it aside, or we can keep it, or we can have a zoo.
Yeah.
So this is just the setup, right? You are a lonely Viking who's been sent out from your fuck. All right,
you're a lonely Viking who's been sent out to build a brand new settlement, in the fjords.
Perhaps that could also inform in terms of automation, you know, you start off having to construct these buildings by completing the bejeweled style puzzles or the peggle or whatever they end up being. But then the bigger you get, the more kind of buildings you create, other people will eventually begin to move in, and then that can be the automation. Like they can help with construction or
maybe what you just put like a sticky note of your bejeweled completed game onto their forehead. And then they're like, right, okay, that's what I've got to do.
I mean, I like that we could use runes instead of gems, right? I mean...
Perfect.
Nice.
But what is it about Nordic construction that makes you think bejeweled?
I think it's more just like, I can't think of a survival game that has used that setting with that kind of architecture.
Okay.
So it could be anywhere, but I just feel like that feels quite unique.
Go on,
in
Chris.
My head.
I'm sorry. Tom is questioning that, and this is the person who said we're in a fucking zoo.
Yeah.
Because I know when I go to a zoo, I'm going, oh, this would make a fucking great game of I wish I was playing Bejeweled right now. or that seal. I'm gonna build him. I'd love to see him play Bejeweled.
I mean, wouldn't you?
I would actually. That would
yeah,
be
exactly.
very impressive.
So what kind of things are you starting off like? Is it to begin with, are you imagining like you have all the meters, you know, you've got hunger, health, like thirst, whatever, all this stuff, and you're having to just fulfill those basic needs. So how are you starting out? Do you have to craft a bottle, a water bottle or something, or is it that? Does it get that in depth?
Do they have bottles of water?
Yeah, they had like leather skin.
Little beakers?
So water skins, not plastic.
Water skins. No, no plastic, yeah. Not yet.
Okay.
Unless no they were very advanced Vikings.
A bottle of Evian?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you do a little hunt. You chop down a couple of trees. Maybe you dig a little bit. You find some iron and stone and stuff. And you're like, great. I can make a water skin now. Or... with my furs and leathers and stuff like that. And then you just slap them into a Bejeweled game and bam, there it is. That's the problem. I don't know how necessarily good this is for smaller, quicker consumable things. Like,
right.
Like if you've got something that only requires two resources, then how does that work? Maybe it only really works on Pong. Could be Pong.
I'm kind of seeing it as a almost like a... Do you remember The Witness?
Yeah.
So, yep. Like...
Jonathan Blow, a classic.
Jonathan Blow, yeah. So, like, as in starting off, because the way that worked, like the design in that and the pacing was, I thought, was really, really good. And the way that it started off is, like, introducing you to the really, really simplest of tasks, of puzzles. I think the very first one you get is literally just sliding
left
one
to right.
ball to the next... Yeah, left to right, to the final node. And maybe that could be how you... Like similar in this, like whatever the puzzle is, if it's Bejeweled or maybe there's some other, I don't know, some other kind of puzzle or, but yeah, whatever the mini game is, you have the really simple version of that to create.
Just like a 3x3 grid.
Yeah, something that you can complete in like 10 seconds or even quicker, perhaps, like once you get to, you know, get good at it. But
yeah, I think you'd
more
scale
complicated
the grid.
Structures, it's, yeah. But then it could also be scaled, like the grid could be larger for larger constructions, but also you're using more materials. So there are lots of different kinds of runes or lots of different materials in the grid. So it just naturally becomes way more complicated.
I was just thinking like you could also tie the size of the grid to like a skill level. So you unlock more of your grid, the higher skilled you get, the more things you build, the more proficient you become, and therefore you can increase the size of your grid. So then you can build a shed now. You can build a shelter or something like that.
I think bigger crafting tables have bigger grids and allow you to build bigger things. But it's just a question of how do you actually select the recipe that you're crafting? Do you just slap a load of resources in there and whatever you combine is what you craft? Or do you select the recipe and then say, I just need to get to 1,000 points? I think that's.
I'd say you'd select the recipe because you'd have to change the grid based on the recipe that someone selects.
Okay.
I feel like the components that you're using like inform the kind of what's in the grid, right?
Yeah, I think maybe the recipes from the outside of the game is just 15 of any type of wood or 15 of any type of stone or whatever.
Yeah.
And you just slap them in there and say, right, I'm going to play some fucking Bejeweled. And then you put it together. Maybe you end up being really great at it or really lucky or really skillful and you're able to build a tier 3 version with the most basic resources. And great.
Okay.
Well,
I just want to get this idea out before it disappears from my head. I don't know if this works, but what if you have the Bejeweled puzzle, but in order to make the ingredients, the components, you have to do a separate Bejeweled puzzle for that tile. So you almost like right click or zoom into that tile to create. So if you want to create a component that you want to create a certain kind of, I need redwood for this building. Redwood needs to go here. So I'm going to zoom into this slot, complete this puzzle. That's crafted redwood. And now that's on my grid.
The old Bejeweledception.
Yeah. How do you craft redwood? What's the resources to craft a redwood?
Wood and red.
Wood and blood.
Yeah, I think it'd be just a redwood.
You just get one. Yeah, okay. So that poor example.
Terrible, terrible example. But
does
I
that
see
make
what you mean.
Sense?
Maybe, but then how deep do you go? The final construction of the game to win, which is obviously a rocket ship to get out of Norway.
A rocket ship. So do you go through technology?
Oh no. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Industrial age.
James has been time. So sorry.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Let me just finish this thought before we go into space. The Bejeweled game, right?
That's the most pitch please thing I've ever heard.
Sorry, cards are coming.
Hold on, let me get this thought out. The Bejeweled, by its very nature, has a bunch of shit in it and like other gems that you're not interested in.
So
right?
Is this pitch.
It's a good measure for like waste, right? So it's like you've got to fill this grid up with enough gems that you can swap around. So you're like, okay, I need 50 redwood, but to get there, you might actually end up using 75 redwood to have enough gems to swap around. So maybe we need to have some sort of mechanic for choosing what goes into the mix. So you're gonna have to sacrifice something in order to get the product out at the end.
Yeah,
because
and I think
that's how Bejeweled works.
I think that was the other thing is the ability to lose resources if you don't do the best job that you can do. Maybe I'm not imagining Bejeweled actually, because Bejeweled when you make a
snake
combination, like those three disappear and then the grid falls down and another three appear, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the one I'm imagining is the one where it doesn't refresh.
Do you mean the thing earlier where I said do they combine and then sort of they stay combined?
Oh, I thought you meant in terms of the actual grand construction. Hang on, wait. What's Bejeweled?
Bejeweled is the one you just said.
The one you described. Yeah.
Okay. What's the one where it doesn't refresh?
Is Candy Crush the same? What's Candy Crush
or something?
Is it Candy Crush? I don't know.
I think stuff falls in Candy Crush as well.
Yeah,
it does. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. Do we need to Google shit mobile game and see what we can find?
Maybe.
But the other thought, why are you thinking about that? The other thought was, do you have to spend energy to switch jewels around in order to connect them up? Is it like, okay, I've only got X amount of energy, so I need to be careful about what I'm choosing to combine. And therefore, that's like, okay, if I spend 10 energy, I could make 50 redwood. But if I spend 5 more energy, I could make 75 redwood because I can connect more things together. Is it like, is there actually...
I think having as many different variations going into the crafting allows you to upgrade and improve more as you go. Having to craft a boat... but in only 3 moves and with these garbage resources, maybe makes it impossible at that stage of the game. It's not necessarily technology locked or research locked. It's just skill locked, or at least the thematic version of your player's skill, making it either heavily impossible to do because you just don't have the moves or the resources for it, or maybe you get very lucky and you can do it. And it makes you want to get perks and upgrade and get better resources to make crafting easier.
Well, maybe the tools that you make can therefore allow you to switch bigger jewels around or you expend less energy swapping things and combining things.
Do villagers join you and therefore you can send them off to be, you know, like wood gatherers and some people? Because how are you getting
the
resource? Yes, in the zoo. In this zoo that eventually has a launch pad for rockets.
But started in Norway.
I was going to say, do you get cars? Because they could make a Fjord Focus.
For fuck's sake.
Just really brought the tone down.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, so do people join your... Is it like RimWorld where people can turn up and you can like invite them in and then you can send them off to... How are you gaining these resources? Like original, or is it just pure solo? I know we have not...
Maybe it's like, in waves. Maybe it's like you've got a number of weeks before you're expecting the next shipment of Vikings to come in. So you've got to have
made a boat coming.
You've got to have made enough shelter for them. You've got to have made collected enough resources.
Oh, that could be.
If you don't,
yeah,
then they're
cool.
just going to be wandering around and they'll die. I don't know.
Yeah, you have objectives to complete for, you know, by the next moon or whatever. Whenever
the
there's
next moon.
By the next waxing
what?
Gibbon
tomorrow night.
Well, no, like that's when the next batch of villagers arrives. So you have to have, like James says, yeah, you have to have like
they're werewolves
to begin with. You just have to have basic sleeping areas, but then by the second batch, you're
going
to have
a Nordic
like,
motel.
No, you're creating a village, like a settlement, slowly. But you need to construct buildings that will support more and more villagers. So to begin with, it's just basic lodgings. But then afterwards, you're going to want like a food hall or like a social area, and things like that. And that's and you have to complete these. Like it could be that you have like you know you can kind of go and do whatever you want generally, but you have certain milestone objectives to complete by a certain time, which is you know when the next batch of villagers arrives or something.
I quite like that. It's not just. Otherwise, it's like, what am I surviving? I can make my one, like, shed, and I'm good, right?
I feel like that's every survival game, though, for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get to a point where you're like, what am I? Why am I actually doing this? I don't really know.
Okay. What if I said that alongside this pitch, I did have a pretty solid idea of what I wanted this game to be, and I just wanted to see what you guys would do with it. What was the zoo idea, you idiots? Idiots. I don't know why I came to you. But when I had this idea for this crafting construction, bejeweled crafting construction mini game, I was imagining a very, very simplistic game of maybe even just a mobile game. But the game is you are on the top level of Earth and you're digging down into the Earth. And as you do, you've got this garbage little pick. Maybe you're doing it by hand. And this is. In my head, I was imagining this is almost just black and white in style. I want to say minute. Is that a game? Minute?
Yes.
M-I-N-I-T?
Yeah,
uh-huh. Is that the very, very... Yeah, that's sort of
you get
of
like literally a
thing.
Minute to play. Is that how it works?
Maybe. But that's just in the visual style. Just very, very simple.
Okay.
And yeah, as you're punching down into the earth, it takes a little while. And eventually you're just like, cool, I've picked up enough stone. I'm going to open up the crafting thing and build a pickaxe. And then you build a pickaxe and you go deeper. And then you build a drill and you go deeper. Then you build a laser and you go deeper. And it's not really, it doesn't have a massive story tied to it. It doesn't have anything more than just upgrading your character and increasing the variables that you have as you play. Like, Vampire Survivors has a lot
of
that.
I knew you were going to say that.
Where
as soon as you mentioned that, I knew, because I thought of it, and I haven't even played it, and yet I already know where you were going with that. But that would be
how
quite
does Vampire Survivors work, so?
Vampire Tom Survivors is just a top-down sort of, I want to say twin-stick shooter, but it doesn't, you know, you can't aim your guns or anything like that. It's just, you start the game, you have a magic wand, and it shoots at the nearest vampire that comes in. And then next time you level up, you pick up a different weapon or you upgrade that thing. And eventually it snowballs in such a way that you become your own bullet hell, essentially, where you increase the amount of projectiles you can fire, you increase the speed of them, the size of them. And all these weapons you've picked up become massively upgraded in wiping out hordes and hordes of these creatures. And it's that sort of style of game where there isn't anything to it. It's just fun to watch the numbers go up. And
right, okay.
That's that kind of thing of, yeah, I can punch the earth for one damage now, but within 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I'm punching it for 2,000 damage and getting deeper and deeper than ever before, picking up all these resources. I've got little drones flying around me that are also hammering the earth. It's almost cookie clicker in a style, but you actively have to play it and do these mini games. And that's kind of the game I was imagining that would work with just pause the game, bejeweled. I want to craft a new drill. I want to craft a new pickaxe or something like that, or a new upgrade. And the better you do, the better your upgrade.
Are you like able to craft? I really like that, by the way. Are you able to craft new tools or weapons or whatever at any point? Or is it like, you know, just pressing like the craft button, or is it at certain, you have to get to certain areas, the equivalent of like a you know, a bonfire or whatever, like a rest point, basically.
Maybe you can just pick a point and just say, right, I'm going to build another safe zone here, and you can teleport between them if you want to go back up or down. If you want to, I suppose. Maybe there's different biomes that you discover as you go, and you're like, great, I could pick up these resources from this place. So you go back to it. I don't know.
So is it like Terraria meets Dig Dug?
It's...
meets Vampire Survivors.
It's Downfall meets Dismantle. Have you seen Dismantle?
Wow. No, I haven't.
Again, another game that is kind of that same sort of... it's not as quick, like 20-minute game time as Vampire.
Is it spelt with a Y instead of an I?
It is.
Okay.
It is. But that game is much more long form, but is you start with a crowbar that can do 10 damage, and everything in the world can be destroyed eventually. It's pretty fun, actually.
That's cool.
And, you know, you come out of your house in this zombie survival wasteland thing, and you can destroy fence posts and you get a bit of wood. You can hit doors and you get a bit of wood, and that's about it. But then you use that wood to upgrade your crowbar, and now suddenly you can destroy lampposts and things like that, and you get more resources. And as time goes on, you start tearing down the entire world for all of its resources and upgrading yourself massively. Forager is another one as well that is the same sort of thing. Forager. It just snowballs and upgrades and evolves. That's the kind of game I want to make, except this time it's
in a
just
zoo.
Digging a hole. Or so no zoos.
What's okay. the ending of your digging a hole game? Do you just burn up in the core of the
you dig too deep.
You're digging, yeah, you dig to the core, and that's how you win.
As a Balrog.
Yeah.
Mm, cool. Or so you find the earth is hollow.
You're trying to get to the other side of the world.
To China.
Is there any threat in this? Like, what are the threats that you're facing? Like, enemy-wise? Or are there?
Depends. It could be a chill version. Like, Dismantle has zombies that appear, but they're not really too much of a threat. They just exist. Does Forager have enemies? It has dungeons you can go into, but again, like, it's just evolution and expansion. That's all it is, really. Maybe the threat is a cave-in at all times.
Right, okay, basically. Just any random time.
I don't know.
I think, like, if you only build, there's no construction beyond tool building, right? Anything you build is basically just to enable you to dig deeper.
Maybe. Or maybe there is. Maybe you can go back and build a base.
Can you build like supports for like the mine shaft? Like, if I think, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little bit like, where are we now? We've like,
this was
no more Vikings are gone. That's fine. We're now digging to the center.
I'm more into
this
than I was into the Vikings. I've got to be honest.
No, you're still a Viking. You're just digging down instead.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something that I really like because we have a tendency, I feel, to go quite big with our games. If we keep this to, like, you know, like Tom said, a mobile game, or just a simple 2D game, and you're literally digging down. I like the idea that you can build the mine shaft, or like you're literally just, you start the game as a person just punching the ground.
Yeah.
And that's literally it. You're just punching the ground. And then after like 5 minutes of punching the ground, it's like, I've got a stone. I found a stone, and now I'm going to hit the ground with the stone, and it goes a bit faster. And I do like this idea that eventually you've built this entire mining operation and like scaffolding, and there's like other people, there's a base, there's drills, but it started with you punching the ground as like, maybe you age up as well, you're a kid and you're punching the ground, and after 50 years it's the end of your life or whatever, and it's like
okay, you go through their entire life.
Yeah.
Wow, miserable.
Start off as a baby. It's like Dungeon Daddy. You've got to be a dwarf, right? If you're digging down. That's like what dwarves do, right? No?
Crap. On brand.
Well, I was going to say, do we end up calling this game Diggy Diggy Hole? But here we go, you know. Licensing.
We're part of the Pickaxe Network. Can you tell?
Oh, fuck, that's the name of the game.
Pickaxe Network, the game. And you find podcasts.
Deep. Golden. Deep mined resources.
I think this is the first time that we've started off with one pitch and ended up with two like completely different
it's
games.
Not.
Like, is it really not? What
no.
else have we done?
No, 100%. They're not even remotely similar.
Oh, well, we have different ideas, but like these are literally two different games.
I think
that's because Tom at the 30-minute mark went, "Oh, by the way, I've had an idea the entire time. I just want to listen to what you guys."
Well, no, this was so,
fuck that idea off.
I downloaded Game Studio Maker, whatever it's called. What is it called?
Yeah, that one.
Game Maker Studio.
That's the one. Because I was like, you know what? It's time. It's time for me to learn, and it turns out I'm dumb, so I can't. But when I was like going through tutorials and making my first game and I built Asteroids, wow, and then I broke it somehow and actually accidentally deleted all the asteroids from Asteroids.
That means you win.
Welcome to game dev. You start the game winning.
Yeah. And then I realized, fuck, I just can't do this. But I was like, after I've done all the tutorials, I'm going to make a game and I'm going to come up with a simplistic idea and just try and build it. And that's what I came up with. So I had a kind of document in my head of what I wanted this thing to be if I was to make it myself. I just wanted to see what you could come up with the bejeweled crafting thing. And you know what? You let me down.
Honestly, I think we let ourselves down. We were scrambling. Like the mind thing, it seems way more clearer to me. Like, as much as I love the idea of like a fjord the Viking and stuff, yeah, because you get
because you pull several ideas out of his ass in a minute.
I mean, to be fair to the original Bejeweled idea, I think there is something really interesting about a crafting game where it's not just click X resources turn into the thing. You know, there's wastage, there's energy, there's like the actual making the act of crafting an actual thing, I think is a really interesting thought. I don't know if Bejeweled is the answer.
Maybe not.
But I like the idea of there being an extra step. And then I also like the other idea of there being Vikings and then they're coming. So you've got to make the town ready for when they arrive. That sounds cool. A crafting game or a survival crafting game with an actual purpose, because there isn't, I don't know, that seems always a little lacking sometimes. You know, Subnautica did all right, I think. That was fun.
Yeah, it did fine. Yeah. It was just, like, of all the games I've played, Satisfactory, Satisfactory is probably the worst of all of them. You just click and hold for 30 minutes to craft all of your iron
I struggle
bars.
With aimless games, I think. You know, it's like, okay, I can just keep going, but I don't know why am I here?
I feel like, James, that might be something that is just the way that you and I both approach games. I feel like, Tom, you are kind of different in the sense that you like, if you were just given a blank canvas or a sandbox, I think you can do a lot more with it. Whereas, like, I feel like people like James and I need more direction or need more like a long-term goal.
I could just honestly, if someone gave me a game and I punched for one damage and they said in 4 hours you're going to punch for two damage, man, I'm going to put the 4 hours in.
I believe you because of this fucking game that's been on Steam the past week, The Button. Have you seen that?
The Button, yeah.
It's literally just a guy who has made a game that is a button and you click it. And every time you click it, your score goes up by one. And the description is, I'm learning Unity. This is all the game is at the moment. I'll add more features. And it was on the new and upcoming, top of the new upcoming list on Steam. I played it for a joke to see what was happening. And I was streaming my screen on Discord. And Tom was like, hey, can I Parsec in and play a button? I'll help you.
I just wanted to two-person the button. It's never been done before. But yeah, I don't know why that game is on Steam. Like, it exists.
Fuck, if anyone listening to this knows that, like, I would love to know, because it makes no sense to me. I don't understand. But good for that guy, because he's,
I hope there's a secret. I hope they've gone, as soon as you get to 200 million, there's actually a really fun game behind.
Oh, it's like the what's the cube one by our good friend Peter Molyneux.
But there's nothing there. It was just disappointment.
Well, I mean, that's just Peter Molyneux.
If you got inside the cube, didn't you? You get to
sadness. You get to help with Godus,
but actually get fobbed off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happens when you hit 2 million on the button as well. Look, we've actually incredibly we've managed to talk about this for quite a long time.
The fuck?
Maybe that's because it's too... Well, no, I'm just giving that because you started the pitch by saying I haven't done that much. I've only got this one mechanic. And actually, you know, it's expanded into two pretty good ideas that go completely different ways. So
there you go.
We're kind of interested back, to hear baby. What other people think. He's
that's
back.
That's
he's
the last back. Time you're going to hear from me.
better find a guest soon.
if anyone has ideas on how they would expand this or what they might do with the Viking one or what they do with the Dwarves version... with what was it, Fjord Focus? That, I guess, Fjord is going to be the name of this episode.
That's the name of it now.
Then please let us know. Where can they let us know, Tom? I'm racking my brains.
You can let us know at Pitch Please, which is Pitch Please Pod without any vowels on Twitter or in the reviews on iTunes, I guess. Or maybe you can create your account name on Spotify, that is how you would fix this game, and then listen to the episodes a lot on Spotify so that we know that you...
I love that.
I don't know how to leave feedback on Spotify. I think that's the only way.
Also, quickly before we go, Tiny Teams submissions 2022 are open now. If you go to yogscast.game/tinyteams, if you're a dev and you've got a game that you want to put out, that you're making, you want to show to people, get visibility, maybe get on the front page of Steam... Go and sign up there. It's super worth it. Anyway, until next time, maybe we'll have a guest next time. I don't know. Maybe I should actually get a guest for once. Or maybe it's going to be another one of our shit ideas.
Maybe that's for you to find out and for us to find out.
Amazing. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
See ya.
Toodles.
There's someone... on the button that has 127 hours played.
127 hours?
It's Tom.